A few years ago, I was at a retreat, and the leader of the retreat had us do this exercise. It's a very strange exercise, but he had us go off by ourselves for an hour and write our own epitaph. Anybody ever done this? Right? Anybody? A couple people? So the exercise goes like this. It's very thought-provoking because what you're supposed to do is write down what you want people to say at your funeral. Right? So if you were to write your epitaph, what do you want people to say? What do you want to have written about you? What do you want to have people to say when they come and they stand up and you're in the little wooden box at the front of the room, you know, and you don't look like yourself, but you kind of look like yourself, you know, and you're there, or maybe you're just in a little jar, right? I don't know. Whatever that is for you. When that happens for you, what do you want people to be saying about you? What do you want to be remembered for? Your talents, your knowledge, what you did, where you traveled? It actually reminds me, there was a story of two men. It was a small town, kind of out west. And there was two brothers, and these two brothers were just really not nice people. I mean, they were reviled by everybody in town. You know, they were the people that were known as heavy drinkers, hard drinkers. You know, they were abusive. They were angry. They had terrible tempers. They were known to cheat in their business deals. I mean, there was really nothing redeemable about these two gentlemen at all. And one of them passed away. And the brother called the local pastor. And he said, Pastor, I want you to do the funeral for my brother. And I will donate $10,000 to your church, because these guys had money. I will donate $10,000 to your church if during your eulogy you will call my brother a saint. And the pastor thought, I know what these guys are like. I don't know if I can make that happen, but we could really use the $10,000. You know, the church needs a new roof. So he says, okay, I'll do it. And so he comes day for the funeral, and he gets up and he begins to speak, and he says, you know, this brother was not a very good guy. I mean, he cheated on his wife. That's why he's divorced twice. He cheated a lot of you guys in your business dealings. He was a drunkard. He was angry. I mean, this was a really terrible guy. But compared to his brother, he's a saint. That was terrible. That was a lot of work, wasn't it? We are spending August in John 15, 1 to 10. Verses that are very familiar to you, many Christ followers. And if you've been with us the last 2 weeks, we've been processing or going through this processing it this way. Because Jesus, remember, he knew he was going to die. He knew that he was going to be dead within 24 hours. This conversation that happened right at the very end of his life. And he wants to encourage them. He wants to encourage them. So he goes through this whole thing about, I am the vine, you are the branches. And we looked these first 2 weeks. The first week we said the reason he did this, because he wanted them to know he was the only source of life that will not disappoint. He's the true vine. He's the only thing that you can plug into, that you can get your source of identity and life from, that will not disappoint. You put your into anything else, your work, your job, your family, your relationships, your hobbies, money, it doesn't matter. They will all disappoint you at some point. But he won't. And then last week, we said, well, what does that even look like? And we said that abiding or remaining in Jesus is simply growing in relationship with Jesus. So this week, I want to look at another word that appears frequently in these verses, and it's the word fruit. Right? So we read, I'm the true vine, my father's the gardener, and he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. And then he prunes it so it'll be more fruitful. And then you go through this and he talks about bearing fruit. Bearing fruit, bearing fruit, bearing fruit. So what is he talking about? What do you think he means when he says, I want you to bear fruit? Is he talking about babies? Probably not. What is he talking about? When he says fruit, is it just leading other people to Jesus? You know, the fruitful person is bringing lots of other people to Jesus. Is that it? Is it certain things that we're supposed to do or accomplish in our lives? And if so, what would those things be? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? You know, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness. Is that? Is there something more? What does he mean? Because he doesn't give them any detail. He just says, hey guys, I'm trying to encourage you. You got to stay connected to me. And when you do, you're going to bear fruit. What does that look like? And a lot of people I know, they spend a lot of time trying to figure out what that fruit is. And people over the years have said, oh yeah, I want to be a fruitful person. Do you know that we complicate this way too much? Because you all know what the fruit is. And do you know why I know that? If I was to ask you, What kind of person do you want your son or daughter to marry? What picture would you come in your mind? Oh, I want them to be loving. I want them to care. I want them to be someone who watches over. I want them to support. I want them to be encouraging. I want them to be, right? That's what I want. Or, even ask it this way, what kind of kids do you want your kids to be? What kind of boss would you like to work for? What would he be like? What would she be like? What kind of employee would you like to have in the perfect world? What would they look like? How would they do? They would work hard, not complain, have a good attitude, show up on time, all those things. See, we at an intuitive level kind of know what the fruit looks like, and we want it in everybody else around us. And to some degree, we'd like it in us, because when we get to the end of our life and someone stands up and says something about us, we don't want someone to say that we're petty, vindictive, angry, hard to get along with, greedy, stingy, unforgiving, selfish, and basically just not a very nice person. Nobody wants to be known like that. Well, so what is it, when we look at this, what does it all come down to? Because in the end, when we're talking about fruit, remember what, you have to remember the context here, right? It's, you know, fruit of the Spirit is included, but this has, the fruit of the Spirit hasn't even been written yet. Paul isn't even a Christian when this happens. He's not even a Christ follower. So it's not that. It's not all these things. Jesus just said to them, hey, guys, I want you to remain in my love the way I remained in my Father's love. And you'll bear much fruit. So in the end, what is he talking about? It's simply this. Being fruitful is letting what we have received from Jesus change us and flow out to other people. That's fruit. Being fruitful is taking what we've received, what Jesus has given us, because he remained in God's love and poured it out on us, and say, look, I'm going to let that change who I am and just let it come out on other people. That is being fruitful. And what he's telling his disciples is, that's what it's going to look like for you. See, here's the truth that I know about every single person in this room. I know this about all of you when it comes to bearing fruit. Here's the truth I know about all of you, okay? The fruit you are currently producing in your life is utterly consistent with what you think the source of life is and the choices you are making. I mean, you intuitively, you know this, right? Some of us are like, oh yeah, I just want to bear this kind of fruit, but I'm going to live my life over here. In fact, the fruit, the outcome, what comes out of our lives, the things we're going to be known for at the end of our lives are utterly consistent with the choices we're making and where we find our source of life. Which is a very sobering thought, actually. And so my question is, are you content with that today? Are you content with the answer to that question or what that looks like for you? Because the good news is, it's never too late to change. It's never too late to go in a different direction. It's never too late, because at some level, every one of us wants our lives to count for something, and we want to have someone stand at the end of our life and say, that is a fruitful life, not wasted. But it's never too late. And that's because, and this is the cool part about all of this, fruit is a result, not a task. Okay? Understand this. Fruit is a result, it's not a task. If fruit was something that we had to try harder to do, work harder at, try and be more fruitful, do all these things, it would never work. And we'd have a little bit, then we would do it not. And then we'd have, and then we'd fail, and then it would be this, and be that. It wouldn't work. But fruit isn't like that, right? And that's the whole illustration that Jesus is making that we're going to unpack this morning. Because being fruitful is simply saying, hey, here's what Jesus has given to us, and given to me, so I'm going to let it change me and let it flow out onto other people. I'm going to become a different person, and I'm going to let it flow out on others. But there's an order to this, how this happens. And that's kind of what I want to unpack a little bit today. So let's take a look. Because here's the first thing I see. Remaining in Jesus then precedes fruitfulness. So if you look at the what it says, he says, remain in me as I also remain in you. Okay? No branch is going to bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And you can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. The priority for those who follow Jesus, then, is remaining in Jesus, right? We aren't going to produce fruit. Because I know lots of people, and you'll hear this all the time. It's self-help books. It's all these things. I'm going to do better. Have you ever thought that to yourself? I just got to be more disciplined. I just got to work harder. I just have to try harder. I can't think that anymore. I got to be different. And what Jesus is saying, yeah, that's all good. But That all comes second. It starts with just hanging out with me. Know me. Because remember, if bearing fruit is taking what we've received from Jesus and passing it on, if we don't receive it from Jesus, we got nothing to pass on. Right? When your teenagers have money, you know, before they can get jobs, and they use it to do things or go out with other people, the only way they can do that is if it comes through mom and dad. I mean, unless they're doing something illegal on the side, right? But I mean, generally speaking, that's where it comes from. So they had to receive it in order to pass it on. Same thing here. We have to receive it in order to pass it on. And the problem is we reverse our priorities, right? So we get this exactly opposite. So when things get busier, things get difficult, what we want to do is try harder, work harder, be more organized. And I find this a terrible challenge. So if I have a week, and this particular week, this week was really, really busy for me, and there was a ton of things I had to do, a ton of things I have accomplished. What I tend to do when that happens in my life is I say, okay, I need to be organized. And I can get a lot done in 168 hours in a week, right? You know, I like, this is when I'm going to sleep, this is when I'm going to work, this is when I'm going to do this, this is when I'm going to do this, this is when I'm going to mow the lawn, this is how I'm going to do this, this is when I'm going to meet with people, these are the tasks I have to do, and I just organize it all. And do you know what the first thing that kind of falls off the radar? Remaining with Jesus. Because I'm like, I know I got to do that, but I'm going to stick that in that 15 minutes there because I got a lot to do, and I just got to get this all accomplished. I got to do all these things. And then I get to the end of a week like that, and one of two things happens. I go, all right, I got it all done. What a productive week. That was amazing. I'm so good. Or, I didn't spend time with Jesus, and I didn't get anything done. I still didn't do it, and then you feel guilty and frustrated, like, I'm going to do better next week, right? One of those two things are going to happen. So Jesus, instead, he makes this amazing statement. He says, remain in me, and I in you, and you'll bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Think about that for a second. Apart from me, if you're a follower of Jesus, you can do nothing. Now, understand, he doesn't mean you can't be busy. Doesn't mean you can't do stuff. Everybody I know, I kid you not, I think this is a universal response. When I ask people how they're doing, do you know what the number one answer I get? And it's by far. It's not, hey, I'm doing good, I'm doing bad. You know what they say? I'm so busy. I'm so tired. Why? I'm so busy. I'm busy, 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 busy. There's something that if we don't get, we'll get in the way of this whole time, and it's simply this. Busyness and productivity does not equal fruitfulness. And for a lot of us, if you're like me, when you get to the end of a week and you say, oh man, I was just so productive, I got so many things accomplished, it doesn't necessarily mean we've been fruitful, because remaining in Jesus precedes fruitfulness. They're tied together. And you can't separate them. Fruit is a result, not a cause, and it all begins with remaining in Jesus. So it starts here. This is where it begins. But here's the second thing I see. Fruitfulness is not static. Here's what I mean by that. It's not a one-time thing, right? We are supposed to be more fruitful as life goes on. So look at the progression. He starts out by saying, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Okay? No fruit. Well, every branch that does bears fruit. And then he goes on to say he prunes branches so they will be even more fruitful. And then he goes on a little bit later to say, you remain in me and I will you, and you will bear much fruit. You see, there's a progression here, right? No fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Because the idea that Jesus is trying to say is, look, remain in me. It's not a one-time thing. It's not like, oh, I did that one thing. You know, I served at that one place. I helped those people that one time. Oh, I was generous and I gave that person that one thing. Oh, it's so good. And then we relax. No. This is an ongoing thing. Fruitfulness grows. It is more of it. And what's interesting is the more we remain in Jesus, the more that grows. The more it grows in our lives. And then, of course, then we come to this really intimidating statement that Jesus makes that I wanted to just touch on because we haven't touched on it yet. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Tell me how that is encouraging if you're the disciples. It's not really, is it? It kind of doesn't feel that way. It feels threatening. It feels like, ooh, that's heavy. Well, this has a variety of interpretations over the years. Okay, one of the interpretations is that this is talking about our salvation, and that if you stop remaining in Jesus, he kicks you out of the family. You're not part of it anymore. He basically cuts you off, throws you away. But that doesn't make sense. That doesn't fit in with what he says in the rest of Scripture. It doesn't really fit the context that he's talking about, so I don't think that's it. There's another one that says, hey, this is, you know, people, when he talks about this, these are people that accepted Jesus, but they really did nothing with their lives. You know, they prayed a prayer, they accept Jesus, so in the end they'll get into heaven, but basically everything else cut off, they get nothing when they get there. Well, that doesn't really fit either in the context of what Jesus is saying. I think there's a third view that makes more sense. And it takes me back, actually, if you take a look. Check out the branch. Remember the branch from last week? Last week, for those of you who were here, I had a nice green leafy branch and compared it to this withered branch. Do you see what happened in 1 week of being disconnected from the vine? There's a little bit of color, but these are just as brittle, just as nothing as this one. 1 week. And if we leave this up here for another week, which I think I will, these will start to brown up, and pretty soon I'll have to get Christine to vacuum the entire stage, because these will crumble, and just you can feel it, you can hear it, right? There's no life to them anymore. I think that is a better picture of what Jesus is talking about. Because again, remember the context of this statement. He's with the disciples. You know how many are walking with him right now? It's not 12. How many is it? It's 11. Because Judas has just left to go get the authorities to come back to arrest Jesus and betray his friend. And Jesus is going through this and saying, look, there are some of you that look green and you look like you're part of this, but you were never connected in the first place. You're not there. It's like Judas. He hung out for 3 years, but he was never in. His agenda was different. And at some point he turned his back on it and said, I don't want anything to do with this anymore. You were never really in. Jesus' point wasn't that, okay, then do a bunch of stuff so that you're in. Right? That's not what's going on here. All he's trying to say is it's a statement that says no true follower of Jesus can remain in me and not have fruit. It's not possible. You remain in me, you will be fruitful. Period. End of story. And the more you remain in me, the more that'll grow. All the time. We're not abandoned by God for lack of fruitfulness. It's not like, oh, you know what, I had one of those weeks, and I mean, not only was I not fruitful, I think I was counterproductive, and it's like, you know what, I think God's going to cut me off. That's not what, it doesn't abandon us that way. Because when we think of it that way, what that does is it puts the onus of bearing fruit on me. I'm going to do it. Oh, I didn't have a good week. Oh, I didn't do enough. Oh, I didn't have enough. I didn't have enough conversations. I didn't treat people enough. It's not about you. He bears the fruit through you if you remain in him. So here's the question. The question is not, how can I become more fruitful? But the right question is, how can I remain in him more and more? That's the question we should be asking, not how can I be a more fruitful person? Because remember, being fruitful is simply taking what we receive from Jesus and passing it on, letting it change our lives. So then it comes to this third part. Remember, this is a whole process, right? Starts with abiding. It's going to be a growing thing. But then here's the third thing I see. There's no fruitfulness without pruning. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. You've all heard this metaphor before, right? Pruning is essential in the life of a plant. We have gardeners in here. How many of you like doing gardening, right? We got some gardeners? Yeah, you got. Now, what happens, right? You have to prune. Pruning is cutting off. I still remember when we had moved into our house, it was probably 10 years ago, we had this rhododendron out front, and it started out really nice, you know, big, bright pink flowers. But then over a couple of years, it kind of got scraggly. It wasn't looking good anymore. It kind of grew in every direction. And it was like October. I'm like, this thing looks terrible. I don't want this anymore. So I took my saw and I cut it off. This high off the ground, right? Only thing left in the ground was the stump. But it was October and I thought, ah, I'll dig it out in the spring. Guess what happened in the spring? Whoosh. And all of a sudden, I had this beautiful rhododendron that just came out, and it was bushy, and there were flowers. By the way, it's 22 years now in this house, and we're back to the same point. I need to cut it off again, right? But it was amazing. You would think that cutting it all off would have killed it. No. That's what gave it life. And you know this is true with lots of different plants. It doesn't matter if it's rose bushes, all kinds of different things. You need to prune. And there are many plants, and grapes especially, are like this, right? And if you've ever grown fruit or vegetables in your garden, you know this. Plants waste an inordinate amount of energy on leaves and things that don't matter. And if you do not prune those things away, the fruit itself is small, stunted, and doesn't really give you everything you need. In fact, if you look at a grapevine, and you go into these, some of these vineyards and stuff, you see them when you're in the Middle East and other places, when they trim these things up to produce the maximum amount of grapes, do you know they actually don't look that nice? Because there's not a lot of leafiness on them. They want it all to go into the fruit. Because they know that it is much more satisfying to be drinking the results of that fruit than to be looking at a plant that has lots of leaves. They know that. And so they're like, no, we're going to prune this back. It doesn't even look right. I'm going to prune it. So here's the thing. We have to, if we're going to remain in Jesus, embrace the pruning process. And none of us like to do that. Because the pruning process is one of two things. And if you think about it, using the same metaphor that Jesus is using, when you prune a plant, you're doing one of two things. You're cutting away extraneous growth. And it's not even necessarily bad growth, right? You're cutting off green growth, stuff that's healthy. But you're like, you know what? This is wasted time, wasted. I'm going to cut this off so that it can go in a different direction. Jesus does that with us all the time. He says, yeah, that stuff you're doing, it's not even necessarily bad. Yeah, it's good energy. I mean, there's neat things. But you know what? You're wasting time and you're wasting your life instead of doing the things that are going to lead to fruit. So I'm going to cut those away. And we don't like that. It's uncomfortable because they're fun. They're nice things. They're things we've poured our lives into. They don't matter. Or they don't matter as much. The other way they prune is when something's not right. So if you have a plant and it's got some rot on it or there's some black mold or anything like that, well, you got to cut that off because it's going to kill the plant. And God does the same thing with us. He says, you know that sinful habit you have, that sin you haven't given up, that thing that's destroying you, it's wrecking you, that's got to go. That attitude, that unforgiveness, that way of looking at people, the way you're relating, the way you're doing this thing, it's got to go. And I want to prune it off because I'm doing it so that you will be more fruitful. And he's going to do it. And our question is, do we embrace the process or do we fight it? He loves you way too much not to prune your life. So we have to learn, hey, I've got to embrace this pruning process because it's part of what Jesus does to make me fruitful. Because here's the truth. God is less interested in how good you look and he's much more interested in what you produce. He actually doesn't care that much how good you look when it comes to your faith. And all the things you do that impress everybody else. He's like, no, no, no. Remain in me. Let me be involved. I will prune you and you will grow and you will be fruitful. And I'll know. God, the one who proves and loves you, who is the source of your life, I'll know. And it's all good. And the reason we're even looking at all this morning and the reason you're here is this simple truth. Because fruit is what defines your life. He says a couple things here and here in this. He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You want to know if someone's a follower of Jesus? Look at the fruit they produce. Not whether they're a Christian. Everybody calls themselves Christians. If you're a follower of Jesus, what kind of fruit do they produce? He's saying, look, this is to my glory. This is what brings God joy. This is what brings him, this is what lifts him up. This is amazing. And then a little bit later, and this is a verse outside of what we read, he says this, I chose you and appointed you so that, in other words, he picked every single one of you that's sitting in here today, he picked you so that you might go and bear fruit. And then he says, fruit that will last. Let's bring it back full circle to the beginning. What do you want to be known for in your life? What do you want to characterize your life? When you get to the end and you want to look at the fruit of your life, what do you want it to look like? See, when these statements are amazing. When we bear fruit, it's to God's glory. It shows who we are and it shows who we really belong to. I read this quote, and I think it really fit here. It's from Charles Stanley. He said this, God takes full responsibility for a life wholly devoted to him. When we say, okay, God, I'm going to abide in you. Jesus, I'm going to abide in you. You're going to be with me, and I'm going to let you do it. You know what God says? He says, you got it. And I will take full responsibility for your life because you've thrown it all on me, and I will use your life in such a way that when this is over, the fruit that you've produced will not only have this amazing impact to God's glory in this life, it will carry way, way forward and into the next. Fruit that will last. Fruit that actually not just impresses the people around you. Fruit that actually makes a difference and impresses your heavenly Father. But it's even better than that, by the way. Because you know that? He chose us. This is what I love about this. Because when we look at that, we say, oh, great, so I'll do all this. I'll sacrifice my life. He'll use me, and I'll have all this fruit, and I'll die. And people will say, what a good person he was, but I knew my life was miserable. No. Do you know that your greatest source of satisfaction and joy in life is when you're bearing fruit the way God wants you to? You want to be happy? You want to be joyful? You want to have a deep sense of satisfaction without worry, without frustrations, with all these things overwhelming? Do you know how you do that? You abide in Jesus and let him produce fruit through you. Because look what he says. I chose you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit. In other words, he says, I created you for a purpose. And when you cooperate with my purpose, you'll bear fruit that lasts, fruit that matters, fruit that leaves you satisfied with your life. It's when you try and do everything on your own and do all the things you like and you fight God in the pruning process, that's what leads to a miserable life. So how would I use fruitfulness then in this whole thing? Use fruitfulness as a diagnostic in your faith journey. Don't think, oh my goodness, I've been fruitful. God's going to cut me off. I'm a horrible person. He doesn't love me. None. Don't do that. But take an honest look at your life that says, hey, if I died today and someone's writing the story of my life and what they're going to say, what would they say? Am I producing the kind of fruit? And if you say, you know what, there's areas of my life that just are not measuring up. Your job is not to go do them better. Your job is to take it to Jesus and say, all right, Jesus, there's deficiencies here. I need your help. Will you please prune me because I want what you're offering? So, as we close our teaching time, here's the question that I want you to wrestle to the ground this week. If you want to take a screenshot of this, because I'd love for you to think this through. And it's this question right here. Is what I am known for right now what I want to be known for when my life is over? Or, to put it a different way, what do I want to be known for that, if I'm honest, does not characterize my life? Is what I'm known for, and in other words, what people think of me right now, the things that people would say about my life, the people that know me, the people that have been influenced by me, just right now. And this doesn't matter if you're 15 or you're 75. Is that what I want to be known for when I die? And is there something that Jesus needs to do? See, Jesus is going to be dead within 24 hours of saying this. His disciples were going to be scattered and fearful and confused. And then they were going to see the resurrected Jesus. And he was going to give them a commission, the one we read earlier, to go out and make disciples and change the world. And they were going to turn from this frightened, confused group of people into these others who just said, all right, Jesus, we are in. We are going to abide in you and let whatever happen, happen. And Jesus will say, all right, I've got you. And I'm going to change your whole world. Do you know that's the same commission he gave you? Same one. So don't live for your own glory and your own comfort. That's so small. If I end up living my life because I had a good time and I was fun and it was comfortable and I had everything I needed, it's way, way, way too small. Don't live for that. Live for God's glory. Something big. Something that gives you fruit that will last. Being fruitful is letting others, letting what we've received from Jesus change us, and then let that flow out into other people. And so if you desire this morning to be fruitful, as most of us do, then remain in him, because remaining precedes fruitfulness. And when we do, we will grow in fruitfulness. He will prune us to make us more and more like him. And in the end, he'll change us. So cooperate with him. God is not trying to teach you a lesson. Oh, if I just get through this and learn whatever lesson he's trying to teach me. No, he's saying, abide with me, walk with me, be with me. And if you do, you'll bear fruit. He wants us to depend on him and connect him as the single best source of life. And in the end, the fruit of your life then is what defines you. What do you want it to be?